Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products are pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
The Volume.
What up, y'all? It's T-Bop from Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Now, we're a college football show, but I'm a massive NBA fan. Now, I'm a Pelicans fan, which can be a trying existence at times, and well, the news about Zion's been no fun lately, but whatever. I love the NBA, right? And if you love the NBA, there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bop? Well, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and you know stuff going on all the time. When you win, very importantly, you get paid fast. And FanDuel has lots of ways to play, okay? Spread, moneyline, over-unders, totals, player props, individual same-game parlays, multi-game parlays. It's all there with the live betting. It doesn't matter if you're running up late, you got your party late, you're hanging out with the fellas, the girlfellas, whatever. The point is, live betting, I mean, you can jump right in, you can bet with your friends, and you too can be cheering for these same things. So, what are you waiting for? Okay, download the FanDuel app today, and let's start to make every moment more with FanDuel. Promo code SNAPS. 21 or older in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369-NY. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342, Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org, Maryland. 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Or visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
Yo, what's
What's happening, everyone? Welcome in on Snaps. Oh, wow. I almost just hit. What's going on there, Aaron? Are you just got a weird way?
My light's not working.
Welcome on to Snaps, your favorite daily college football podcast. I am one of your hosts, T-Bob Hebert, joined as always by QB1, the man who jumps straight to the vasectomy top, Mr. Aaron Murray. What's up, Aaron? What's going on? As always, we are youtube.com/TheVolume. If you ever want to hang out with us live each and every day, you can hop in the chat. We got our guy Bilbo in there, Thomas Dare, Greg Hendricks, among others, chilling with us today. And shout out FanDuel for helping us put this all on. If you sign up for FanDuel, use the promo code SNAPS, easy way to help the show grow. Aaron, what's up, man? How are we feeling today?
Yeah, feeling good. Next week, big week for your boy. We're going to do a little Snaps on Monday, and then a little Snips right afterwards at 3:30. So, T-Bob, I guess everyone in Baton Rouge is getting a vasectomy this spring. Unfortunately, it has to wait like 3 months. Your boy only needs a week. So, big countdown begins. So, pray for me over the next week as I get mentally prepared to never create another human being ever again, sadly.
Just unbelievable QB1 privilege. Guaranteed, yeah, the guy's a Georgia fan. He didn't even grab your genitals. He didn't make you wait 2 months. He's doing it on a Monday, which I wasn't even aware that that was an option. But yes, it is officially vasectomy season here on the show as we go. Aaron, I'm going to steal your joke here. As we go from snaps to snip. It was a good joke, though. It was a great joke. Okay, so a few things on the docket today. We're going to talk about a few quarterback battles as UGA spring ball's underway, Alabama spring ball's underway. And there's something about the spring season starting where you really start to dive into these teams. And, you know, taking each Alabama news piece individually through the offseason, you're like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, okay, yeah, they're replacing their DC. No, they replaced their OC. Yeah, I get it. No, for sure. And, no quarterback, but you know they got a quarterback battle. They're gonna figure out. Losing six starters, including three offensive linemen. That's okay. You know, it's Nick Saban. He's gonna figure it out. It's kind of shocking when you recap all the stories in one fell swoop. Alabama man has a lot to overcome. So we'll get to that. The Pac-12 is fighting back against Aaron Murray and all the other naysayers that are declaring them dead, saying they think they have a very good deal in the mix and that Kliavkoff is going to save the day. We'll get there as well. I'll start here, though, Aaron. And you may not be the best person to ask this. Since you do a lot of work in the NIL space, you probably do know how players looked. But I came to the rather startling realization today that although I have committed my lives to talking about teen boys playing a sport involving an oblong ball, I actually don't know what any of these teen boys look like. Like, not a single one. Not in the face, at least. Now, quarterbacks, yeah, you tend to know what they look like. But I would challenge the average college football fan out there, like, find your starting middle linebacker. Put up a grouping of players from your roster, just their headshot. I almost guarantee you cannot name 90% of them. I got found out today as I could not name John Emery, who like used to be. I couldn't pick him out of lineup. He used to be one of the top.
You couldn't even pick out John Emery. Like I know what John Emery looks like.
No idea.
Come on.
I thought young to actually be John Emery.
I know exactly what John Emery looks like.
But you have a monetary stake.
You can say the same thing about the NFL. I mean,
that's true.
It's a smaller roster, less turnover, but still, like, we all know what the quarterback looks like. But that's why basketball players get bigger endorsement deals. It's quarterbacks and a ton of basketball players because their faces are always out there. You get to see what they look like. Football players, we hide behind a helmet. That's why I like playing football compared to basketball. I was always so gun shy playing basketball. People are like, well, you play in front of 90,000 people and you play in front of, you know, this many people, like, why are you scared to shoot a basketball? I'm like, well, I honestly do feel pretty safe. Like, no one sees me when I put a helmet on. Like, when I'm at the free throw line, that is the scariest place on the earth to me. Like, there was nothing more
what
like nerve-wracking than like high school basketball, big time rivalry game. You're at the free throw line. I can't think fucking say
free throw
line. And all I'm trying to do is just hit rim. I'm not even trying to make it. I'm just trying to hit rim and not airball it.
Wait, are you just awful at free throws? I'm so confused. Are you just awful at free throws?
No, I just don't like the pressure of playing basketball in front of people.
Wow.
I like the comfort of a helmet and pads and feeling it like it's like Big Daddy when he puts the glasses on that no one can see. Yeah. Like that's how I felt when I put my helmet on.
Okay. I mean, that is interesting given that you play quarterback, the one position where everybody's quite literally looking at you 24/7. Like when you drop back to pass, people should be watching the offensive line and then following wherever the ball goes. But instead, our dumb brain just, no, why would you watch a quarterback drop back?
Why would you watch offensive line? No one wants to watch offensive line play.
Because that's where the initial battle takes place. The correct way, the objectively correct way to watch a football play is when the ball is snapped, you watch the line for the first second and a half, 2 seconds. And then when the ball is either handed off or leaves the pocket, then you follow the ball. You know it's not exciting, yet I guarantee again, 90% of y'all do out there, you just watch the quarterback drop back. Like you just watch the quarterback hit a three-step drop and then throw the ball. There's nothing interesting. But you'd be like, what about climbing the pocket? What about moving around? If you follow the line, you see where the rush is coming from, and it leads you to the action. Like, again, y'all, retrain
down the field.
But you can't see that on the TV broadcast. You can't see that on the TV broadcast. Can't. The routes disappear out of the shot immediately. Yeah. So again, guys, it's a little helpful because look, here on Snaps, we aspire to be the best college football podcast, and I want you to be the best college football consumers that you can. When you watch football, stop watching the quarterback battle of the line.
That's why they need the option, which I love during the national championship game, the best view. And I think they did this during the playoffs too. The best view was the sky cam where you got behind the quarterback and you can actually see the secondary too. You can see the safeties moving. You can see the linebackers adjusting. Like that is the best way to me to watch a game. And people are like, oh, I hate this. I want to see like why I get it's where it starts, C-Bob, but why do I want to watch four defensive linemen run into five offensive linemen? Like that is not like
okay. Line. What the fuck?
I get it, but I want to see plays develop.
You pissed me off. And I guess it's 10 minutes. We're good.
I want to see plays develop down the field. Give me that camera angle where I can see the actual skill players go out there and make moves.
So you want to pay $75 million to Laremy Tunsil to be your left tackle, and you want to pay TJ Watt, I don't know, $100 million, whatever he has, but you don't want to watch them play football? Are you an idiot? No. Are you an idiot?
I'd rather just watch 7-on-7. I'd just rather watch 7-on-7.
That, exactly, you would. And that's QB1, and that's some BS, dude. That is the height of absurdity. The hand fighting, the sumo-esque battle going on, the pass rush moves, the leverage battles, the athleticism displayed, it all starts up front in the trenches. But I do agree with you on this. I think all offensive players, I don't know if defense feels the same way, but all offensive players, end zone view is the best way to watch football. If you are actually breaking down film 99% of the time, and this is also because I don't understand coverages for shit. So 99% of the time, I just click on end zone view and I don't even mess with the wide angle. Like if I have access to the actual football film, I give little to no effort whatsoever in like breaking down route combinations and everything else. And I just go immediately to the line.
I learned early on, and you'll like this. Like I wanted to, as a quarterback, I wanted to see what we call the all-22. Oh, there's that transition
there
I love from Rumble. There it is. I wanted to see all-22. So like, I want to see from the sideline, be able to see the route develop, see the safeties move, all that. That's my quarterback vision. CBS early on is like, Aaron, stop requesting all-22 every time you want to replay. Like, let's get some high end zone view of inside the box. So I had to I had to retrain my brain to do different camera angles because I like to diagram, and you can't diagram from the high end zone. You just can't. There's not enough unless you're doing some sort of concept.
If you have that much space to draw on, you get into the weatherman conundrum.
What's the weatherman conundrum? Fill me in, bro.
Accidentally drawing a penis on the screen.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, for yeah. sure. I mean, I mean that's why nobody's
two are running down the field here. Now you have this shell coverage.
Yeah, exactly. And then look at the protection on the left and right tackle. That's exactly what we're looking for. Routes on the outside, shell down the middle, left and right tackle. Look at that on the. Yeah, I mean, hand me a telestrator, and I guarantee you, a dick is just going to organically come out of my hand within 10 minutes. It's just too easy.
And this is why
I like the little sausage. No, no, I told you I meant to be on the sideline on a TV broadcast. I get it. I'm getting you on our broadcast
for the spring game. I'm getting you on the broadcast.
Who are you doing with? I forgot to ask you. Who are you doing it with?
Who am I doing the game with? This is probably something I should know.
Tommy Hart. He's done the game before.
Mike Morgan.
Huh. I don't think I know Mike.
You know Mike. If you saw Mike, you know Mike. There's a lot of SEC games. Yeah, a lot of SEC games. But we may just kick Mike. We just may kick Mike out.
Is this exciting podcasting? Should we just talk about Mike Morgan and who Mike Morgan is? Okay, yeah, I recognize Mike. You know, at Morgan on Air on Twitter. Shout out, Mike.
All right, Brum, I'm going to need you to go to T-Bob for 2 seconds.
Okay, go to me for right now. Blake Walters, a man of high class.
We start talking about a broadcast, and Aaron starts treating me like I'm his goddamn on-air producer. Take this guy down, like shit.
For some reason, the camera light wasn't working. We're back now. I can't let T-Bob look better than me. We're good now. Let's go.
Blake Walters, I do like watching the linemen do their thing. They'll often watch a good D-lineman work. Yeah, that's fine. You can watch a good D-lineman and just watch. I'm saying – in terms of what is interesting football, off the snap, the first second and a half, the line is where it's at. Because even in that time, like you're going to see pulling. It's going to tell you if it's a run or a pass. You're going to see any games of the D-line's trying to play. Like, there's so much to unpack there. And I guess there is in the secondary as well. But I wonder what's harder to discern for the average human being, though. Like appreciating good routes or appreciating good line play? Probably line play. I think it's maybe a bit easier.
Definitely line play. Line play is very hard to appreciate. And I will throw you a bone here, T-Bob. The offensive line, and even in this age of football, the offensive line is still the most important position on the field. Hey. Ain't
well, outside of quarterback.
Getting done. Nothing. No. Like, I still, at the end of the day, like, I would rather have an A-plus offensive line and a B quarterback than an A-plus quarterback and a B minus offensive line.
As much as I love hearing you say that, I agree. I get it. It makes
great offensive line will mask a lot of issues.
Yes, but I mean, also, do you know how nice it is as an O lineman to have a quarterback back there that gets the ball out of his hand? Like a quarterback that's competent and knows what he's doing and protects himself by throwing it, it's kind of invaluable. So look at us. Two most important positions on the field, quarterback and O-line. We are not biased, okay? This is objective fact. Greg Hendricks, hey, T-Bob, since Aaron is calling the LSU spring game, does that mean you're going to G-Day? When is G-Day, Aaron?
G-Day is the 15th.
Of what? April?
Yes, of April.
I don't think I'm going to be able to swing that. I have like a million things every week, and I feel like through April, it's I don't know why. This is how spring goes every time.
It's a really just one-sided show, as always.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about the center of attention here. I've had to travel to Baton Rouge multiple occasions now, and T-Bob has yet to reciprocate and come to the great state of Georgia, come to the motherland of Athens. And enjoy barking at other human beings.
I would love nothing more. And we will do this sometime. I just don't know if it's in the cards for G-Day. But I'll do some inquiries. We'll see.
I promise you, once Georgia, gambling is legal in Georgia, there will be some sort of snaps-related event in Georgia.
When Georgia's legal, when gambling's legal in Georgia, T-Bob's moving back to Atlanta, and we'll do live shows from a studio.
Blake Walters, I know I hate the 2 second delay on here. Honestly, it gets such a pet peeve of mine. It bugs me so much because, like, I'm a very and I know this is wrong, but I'm a very interrupty host. And I feel like generally though, when you're live, you kind of like make it work. But it just absolutely sounds like shit all the time on here, and I still can't help myself.
New software options because of this.
Oh,
Okay, because of how right interrupting on, T-Bob and myself are, because I'm just as bad as you. So.
No, yeah.
It is
hey, sort of like
hey, shut the fuck up. Let me talk. Is just like hey, bro, shut the fuck up. Let me talk. Yeah. Blake Walters, I love a good O-line, but Mahomes with an average O-line is better than Baker with a great O-line. I think I actually agree with Blake's
that's a good point there. Very good point.
So I'll go quarterback. I'll still go quarterback first. But whatever, using Mahomes in any conversation is also kind of unfair because it's like, hey, what if I use just the most perfect player to ever play the position? As like, yeah, it's quarter, you know? No, he's not very representative of the picture. All right, let's I don't want to get into gambling in Georgia right now. I do want to tell you to sign up for FanDuel, promo code SNAPS to support the show. I also want to talk some Georgia football, Aaron. Spring is underway, and Georgia and Alabama, in a lot of ways, are the two premier, not just SEC football teams, but in a lot of ways, the two premier college football programs. And so what an interesting spring we find ourselves in, where neither one enters spring with a quarterback, or probably not even a favorite to win the quarterback position, and both are working in new offensive coordinators. Now, obviously, Tommy Rees at Alabama, much newer than Mike Bobo, who has been there already for a year, and there's been all kind of talk about how he's carrying over a lot of the terminology and he's trying to make the transition as easy as possible from Munkin to Bobo. But give me a little something on this UGA quarterback battle as you got Carson Beck, Brock Vandegrift, who sounds like his dad owns a dealership, will sue the shit out of you if you piss him off. Also, Brock Vandegrift is a name that sounds just like so set up to do like to kill some. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna back off this joke train. It's maybe a little too real with recent Georgia events. Right, we're gonna back it up. Brock Vandegrift, Carson Beck, and Gunnar Stockton. Who's in the lead? And if you say Carson Beck, justify it, like, because I know your old man heart just loves the fact that he stuck around. But I need you to justify as to actually why it would be Carson Beck.
And you think it's such a bad thing that he stuck around? Like, it's like,
I don't
if
think
you
so.
Don't
I do not
transfer,
know.
If you don't transfer within 2 years, that means that you weren't good enough to leave and that you're just, you know, sitting around, you know, picking your nose, having a good time, getting a free scholarship. Like, no, like
potentially
some people actually enjoy the place they committed to and are willing to just sit there and wait for their opportunity to go out there and be the starter, which is what Carson did. So it's nothing to do with he wasn't good enough to hit the portal. It was just he realized that he has the potential to have 2 years as a starting quarterback for the number one team in the country. Why the hell would I go somewhere else and have to struggle when I have all this talent, all these resources, all this NIL opportunity right here, right now? And all I have to do is just wait a year. What's a year?
Okay, okay.
What's another year?
Okay, so what you're telling me, though, is that you think that Carson Beck is in the lead or should be.
Oh, yeah.
And the lead part of this job, like he is good enough to be that starter and stick around and not get passed up by a big time five star they bring in behind him.
But he was a big time 4 or 5 star guy. Like it's not like he's some scrub guy, like, you know, like a Stetson Bennett who was a walk on or 3 star guy that people were kind of like, you know, just buying his time and just let's get him out of here. Like, no, Carson was a highly recruited guy that people have been waiting for him to get his opportunity. And last year when he came in and played, he was a freaking beast. I'm telling you, like even 2 years ago, I went to a spring practice, sit back, and this was his first year, first or second year. And I'm watching him run the offense, and honestly, he was the most impressive one there. Carson was scheduled to be the starter versus UAB 2 years ago. Comes out Monday, just wasn't really feeling it. Coaching staff doesn't, you know, wasn't sure if he was ready to play or not. Said, okay, listen, we're playing UAB. Let's just put Stetson in. Get through this week, give Carson one more week of practice, and then he could be the starter after that. Stetson throws 5 touchdowns. It's like, okay, we can't take the kid out now. And just obviously never gave it up from there. Carson has been the most talented quarterback in the room, has the most arm talent, is extremely accurate, can make every throw you want, is actually more sneaky athletic than people kind of give him credit for. He's not Stetson, but he's athletic enough to get in outside the pocket, throws extremely well on the run. I'm telling you, this offense and the weapons that they have brought in, you know, bringing in 2 top receivers, obviously you got Brock back, you got Ladd back. They are positioning themselves to be more of a throwing offense, an offense that wants to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game with those talent around them. They're evolving as an offense. So Carson's the best guy for it. I think he's the most talented. He knows the system. That's why you kept Bobo too, because there's an easy transition with the play call. He's ready to go. So Brock is your big, you know, bigger, more physical runner. Gunner, I heard, is extremely talented as a thrower. A little bit more of a gunslinger mentality. You know, it's going to take a little bit too many chances at times, but he's green, and I honestly like the fact that he's taking some chances. I think it's going to be an interesting race, but I think Carson is 90% is going to be the guy come next fall.
So when I read a quote from Kirby Smart saying, hey, don't count out Gunner Stockton, right? The kid looks great, yeah. Yada, 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 yeah. Down, he's smart. Is that just Kirby Smart doing the same thing that Brian Kelly tried to do with Walker Howard, where it's like, you know, he doesn't actually have a chance at starting, but I'm going to give him lip service every week so that he feels like he does. And eventually, obviously, Walker Howard went elsewhere because he wasn't even top two on that depth chart.
Someone's going to leave. There's no way you're keeping all three. And I think that's going to be the hard part. I think the one guy that you may have a chance to keep is Brock. Brock's a kid from Athens. He went to Athens Academy. He loves, grew up a Georgia fan, loves being in Athens, loves being a part of this football team. So, like, he's someone that may buy his time. And I also think that someone, that even if you put him at three, you can find a way to get him on the field, red zone situations, third and short situations. Maybe you have a running package for him to keep him a part of him, because he's such a good kid. You want him in the locker room. But I think it's going to be a little bit based on kind of where the offense is heading. And where I think the identity of the offense is going to be, like I said, you bring in all these offensive weapons, you bring in all these receivers, you're going to want to throw the football. You don't bring in two of the top receivers in the SEC to sit there and run an RPO running offense. You don't. You're saying we want to evolve. We want to be LSU a few years ago. We want to be what Alabama's been, and we want to score 40, 50 points a game. And having a running quarterback necessarily isn't going to be the you know, give you the best chance to do that. So I do think it's almost more of a battle between the two throwers right now.
Well, how fascinating then, because it kind of dovetails really well with the Alabama quarterback conversation. So we'll put a bow on Georgia for now, for all you dogs fans out there. Sounds like Aaron Murray, who admittedly just had a sit down, I think, in the Players Lounge with Carson Beck. So again, he is the John Talty of this show, which, by the way, on AMP earlier, Aaron tried to tell me again that, you know, Nick Saban was not sending a message to Nate Oates, and that he had talked to his Alabama sources, and the guy he had talked to was John Talty, who has literally written a book called The Secrets of Nick Saban's Leadership. Okay, so
he knows the show because his serious show, because they booked him because of this exact talking point.
Yes, to get out there that no, Nick Saban was not. He was not saying that at all. Did it sound exactly like a scriptwriter had written the exact rebuke that you would to Nate Oates? Yes, but it was purely coincidental.
It was pure as you and I talking right now. It was
which is not pure, because the point is John Talty is not unbiased and you are not unbiased when it comes to Carson Beck. I just saw you sitting down with him on the Players Lounge the other day.
I also talked with Brock Vandegrift 2 weeks before. I talked to him too.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, so, I'm back
to research before you start trying to call me with your game.
Okay, right. You're right.
I love all Georgia quarterbacks. It's a fraternity, just like I'm sure LSU offensive lineman, you guys have your fraternity. It's a little bit bigger than ours, but like, I support all Georgia quarterbacks. I root for all of them. I hope it's a healthy competition. I hope the best damn man wins. At the end of the day, I don't care if it's Carson, Brock, or Gunner. Best man wins, and I'm going to support you. Good for you. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Well, but do they all like you, right? We don't know. I thought Stetson liked you, but now I'm not so sure anymore, dude.
I don't know about that one anymore.
Sports Talk with Planet Jadarius was happening. He says, I don't trust any of these quarterbacks right now. I think that's fair. I mean, they're completely unproven. Kirby Smart, I love this quote. What would I like? I would like to have a guy that started for a year, 2 years, be your quarterback. But we don't have that. So we have a competition. I feel you. Barry Jocelyn has the right idea. Says, what's up, fellas? Y'all hit the like button. Everybody wants to hit the like button. We love you. All right. I know that gets very annoying if you watch as much YouTube as I do. But, like, unfortunately, that's what the YouTube gods demand of us.
Hit the damn like button. I just did it. It took 2 seconds.
Yeah. Wow, that's how dumb you are. It took you 2 whole seconds to just click on a thumbs up. Jesus. Alabama quarterback battle. So you mentioned having a running quarterback. And as potentially frustrating as the Georgia quarterback situation could end up being, Alabama's is, I mean, it is up in the air, dude. There is not a lot to hang your hat on. So their Carson Beck would be Jalen Milroe, who is entering his third year in the program. You saw him in 8 games last year. You saw him coming in that Arkansas game where they were winning big. Things get a little hairy. Milroe rips off a couple of 70, literally a couple of 75-yard touchdown runs. That game ends. He later gets a start the next week against A&M, which obviously they almost lost to a very bad Texas A&M team. So like when you look at Milroe's stats, he by far has the most experience, but the stats kind of leave a bit to be desired. In fact, he had as many completions last year, he was 31 of 53, as he had rushing attempts, 31 completions, 31 rush yards, threw for 297, ran for 265, only averaged 5.5 yards per attempt through the air, but averaged nearly 9 yards a carry on the ground. Threw for 5 touchdowns, but also 3 picks. So obviously, just from the numbers alone, you have someone who is throwing the ball is not the strength of the game, but he appears to be an elite runner. Also in the mix, you have Ty Simpson, who's likely the fan favorite, a 5-star from the 22 class, played in 4 games, preserved his red shirt, was 4 of 5 through the air, the limited action that he saw. And then you have a couple of true freshmen. So you have a 3-year guy who run it, can't really throw it, a former 5-star freshman who you don't really know who he is, who appears that he can throw very well, and then you're already down to 2 freshmen in Eli Holstein, a very good 4-star out of Louisiana, and Dylan Lonergan, a very good 4-star out of Brookwood, Georgia. How about that? Go Broncos. Man, I don't know, Aaron. This is not a – we'll get to it, but this does not seem like a very good quarterback room to me.
No. Listen, they're talented. I mean, let's not, like, just throw Jalen out and look at the stats for a guy that was a backup, for goodness sakes, that wasn't really preparing as a starter, wasn't given all the reps in spring and summer and fall camp. Like, I mean, you have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner coming back. Like, he's – you know he's going to be the dude. So, like, let's give Jalen the opportunity to actually develop as a quarterback before we put him in this category of, like, he can't throw the football. All he can do is run. Like, yeah, that's what they relied on him because there was a limited time for them to work and develop him and hopefully take his game to a next level where it's like, okay, listen, we just got to try to win a football game. And what do you do well? You run really, really fast. So, damn it, just take that ball and go run. And we'll figure out the throwing next year when we actually have a little bit more time to work you into the offense. So I do want to see what he looks like a little bit more during spring and their A-day game and see if he has improved as a throw, which I'm sure he's had. I think the biggest question is, what is this offense going to look like? You know, I just talked about Georgia. I mean, Georgia, I kind of know what the offense is going to look like. Like I said, you brought in some top receivers for a reason, not to run 21 personnel, so 2 backs, 1 tight end, and 2 receivers. No, you brought those guys in to run 11 personnel. Get Brock and get those receivers on the field and push the ball vertically down the field. So I think that's their identity. So they're going to want to throw it. You look at Alabama, what is their identity going to be next year? What does Tommy Rees want them to look like?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more similar to Georgia. They got a bunch of youth at the receiving position. They weren't great last year, but they were also really young last year. So those guys, another year playing college football, should get better. They love a lot of those freshman receivers. To me, if that's your offense you're going to want to lean on, then Ty Simpson's your guy. If you still don't think those receivers are ready to really shoulder the burden and be those elite receivers that Alabama's had for the past 5 or 6 years, even more than that, then maybe you do go with a guy like Jalen. So this is, I think it's more of a question of what does Tommy Rees want to do? Does Nick Saban say, hey, Tommy, I want to be more of a physical offense. I want to be an offense that I was used to when I first started. I'll get the defense right. We'll get to that side of the football right. I just want to control the clock. I want to beat teams up. I want to just pound them, pound them, pound them, pound them. Then yes, Jalen's maybe your guy. If he wants to throw the football more, then it's Ty. So to me, it's a crisis of getting guys reps, figuring out your identity on offense, and making sure that guy has enough reps in the system before the season. I'm honestly worried about Alabama. I really am. Like, I just don't know if they're ready to go.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLabs joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game, bro.
The tournament is heating up, and as always, there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And that's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Just go to FanDuel.com/snaps and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, whether you're a believer in the underdogs. How far could Princeton go? Or you think like Texas may get it done? Look, it's all there if you have FanDuel. So right now, sign up, FanDuel.com/snaps. However much money you want to deposit, you can use that on a no-sweat first bet. Maybe you double it up. But if you don't, you can get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. So let's make every moment more with FanDuel. 21 or older in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369-NY. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342, Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org, Maryland. 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Or visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
So you touched on it a lot in that answer when you talked to the identity of who you want to be, and I agree with you with less turnover. Georgia has a clearer identity. But is there a succinct way that you could sum up this question from Alpha Dog in the chat where he says, what's the difference between Alabama's quarterback room and Georgia's quarterback room? And I get what he's getting at, right? You have one guy that's been there for a few years. You have another guy that's been there for a year. And then you have a true freshman behind that. You got new coordinators in both spots. So why do we feel better about – is it because Bobo's not fully a true coordinator? Is it because Carson Beck looked better? I mean, he does have better – throwing the ball numbers certainly than Milrow did in his action, but it was also more of limited garbage time cleanup action. Well, like Jalen Milrow also to play legitimate games.
So I think the two big, a few big differences. One, first big difference is Bobo was on the staff last year. So the transition to the new offense is going to be a lot easier because it's not really going to be a new offense. It's Bobo taking over what Todd Monken was doing, maybe adding a couple little twists here and there to, you know, take it to a next level, hopefully, but the identity of the offense is going to be the same. So there isn't that learning curve of, hey, I need as a starter a lot more reps. Carson's been repping this offense for a long, long time. And plus his skill set is already the identity of this offense. Like, yes, Stetson might have been more athletic, but there was still a 11 personnel, 12 personnel, play action pass, throw the ball down the field, move Brock around, use the receivers as much as you can when they're healthy. Like the identity of the offense is really not changing much. The difference with Alabama is one, you're bringing a new OC, so we really don't know what he wants to run. You're also, last year with Bryce, it was more of a throwing offense for the past 2 years. It's been an offense that has run through Bryce and has run through the receivers. So if you do want to go through Jalen, it's not going to be the same. So you have to make that decision. Do we want to keep a similar offense to what we were running, or do we want to change it for Jalen? So those are the big differences where Georgia doesn't have to change. Because of what Carson Beck can do, I think you're going to have to change if Jalen's the guy.
Now, what about this? Do you hate the idea of changing for Jalen Milrow when you look at the NFL, right? And I always think about when you hear me talk about the meta. Like, I was first introduced to this playing a lot of League of Legends back in the day, right? Where the meta says that, Gragas is the best mid right now, or blah, 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 whatever. And the meta of college football more and more and more over the last few years has been moving spread, 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 throw the ball more, et cetera, right? We know that's what everybody's basically doing. So there is value, if you can, if you have the talent to going off meta. And you're starting to see this in the NFL. Lamar Jackson had the Ravens, and the Ravens had a lot of success in a few years ago. It's maybe been dwindling, but then somebody like Jalen Hurts comes in, and now he's having success in a similar but more evolved situation. So I wonder, when you're watching offenses and quarterbacks like Lamar and Jalen have huge success going off meta on the NFL level, is there value to Alabama going more old school and creating a run-first quarterback-led attack?
Oh, yeah. Well, look at Michigan. We talked about it yesterday on the show. So if you missed that one, go back and watch it. But, I mean, you know, we talked about Wisconsin getting a new OC, and the problem is, are you going to try and compete with Ohio State when it comes to getting those type of players, or do you go the Michigan route where they're like, screw it, man, we're not going to have those skill players, so let's just get physical. And the one thing about Alabama, why they may have a lot of question marks at a lot of positions because of what they lost on both sides of the football, they're also replacing them with a bunch of five stars. So those guys are really, really good, and they're really big and physical and fast. and are just hungry for their opportunity, and obviously extremely well coached because they have some of the best coaches in America. They're just ready for their opportunity. Cool. So do you just play Kevin the game Steele? Of we're bigger, faster, and stronger? So let's just line up and play football. And if they just line up and play football, they're better than 95% of the teams they're going to play.
Well, that's what's weird about Alabama last year. They averaged like 5.5 yards a carry, right? And I'm sure now many Alabama fans are listening and they're like, why didn't we run the ball more? Well, you may get what you wish for. Final point on Alabama. Yep. Let's look at everything as it stands right now and just really appreciate the pressure that is on Tommy Rees. You have three true passers, right? In the two freshmen and Ty Simpson. And Ty Simpson is athletic as well, but three passers who are completely unproven. You have one somewhat experienced mega athlete who appears to be limited throwing the ball. You have an offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, who was born, Aaron, in 1992. He won't be 31 until May 22nd. And now he's answering to Nick Saban. In a year where Nick Saban needs great offense to not continue the slippage of the last couple of years, this is also an offense that lost six offensive starters, including three starting O-linemen, the entire left side of the line, and your right guard. I mean, the pressure, and also, what the actual fuck, Nick? Like, for real, Nick, if you pull this off, like, you son of a bitch, if Alabama is somehow great this year, and, like, the offense specifically – with a 31-year-old babyface coordinator, brand new quarterbacks, brand new offensive line. Like, if they go out there replacing both coordinators, if this team goes out there and fights for a national championship or wins a natty, this man should be canonized. Because anybody else, we would not be giving the time of day. Like Alabama will probably, maybe I'm starting to turn on this, but has a very good chance of still being the pick at SEC Media Day to win the West. If it was anybody else, they would have no chance of being chosen. So to me, I don't think they'll get the feeling they won't either, because people have a little bit of Bama fatigue. And again, objectively, this would be the year to not choose them, because everything that I just said for Alabama, the opposite is true for LSU in the West. You got the returning coordinator, returning offensive line, returning top 10 quarterback. Bro, we were talking about last time LSU had a returning top 10 quarterback was like fucking Tommy Hotson, maybe, like way back in the day. Like, it's been because nobody knew Joe Burrow was going to be that good his senior year, right? Nobody knew Jamarcus Russell was going to be good that year. Marquez in the chat says, why are you all acting like we didn't win a championship with Jake Coker? Again, it's not just the quarterback. If it was just the quarterback piece, that is what it is. It's quarterback, OC, O-line, skill, like Cameron Latu's gone, Jameer Gibbs is gone. Like,
the defense, if, all the star power defense gone.
If Nick Saban pulls this off, build a second and third statue to that man because he has no right. He has no right. Well, and his intimidation is such that I'm kind of thinking he probably will.
It's going to be the Nick Saban Stadium, you know, and Dennis Bryant Stadium is going to be gone. It should be Nick Saban if that happens. And that honestly still may happen.
Bryant, I think Dennis Bryant.
The things that should give Alabama confidence, along with everything we talked about with them just being, you know, have a bunch of 4 and 5 star guys already and Nick Saban being head coach. The West sucks next year. Let's just be honest. Like, the West is not very good next year. You look at their schedule, Ole Miss, you know, massive disappointment last year. You know, Alabama's still more talented than them. Mississippi State's breaking in a brand new coaching staff, having to change their offense up. Arkansas has lost a ton of talent, and kind of people are worried about where they're going to be this year. And then Auburn's breaking a new coaching staff too. You know, A&M is a shit show. You know, they have the talent to possibly compete, but like, let's be serious here. You know, who knows? But I'm just saying, like, the good thing for Alabama of all years to have a quote-unquote rebuilding year of talent, of trying to find your identity on offense, of trying to get young players to take a step above their game. This is a good year to do it, because really in my opinion right now, it's LSU, Alabama, and then a massive drop from there of what the SEC was going to look like.
Although, again, as much jokes as we made, and they are very fun jokes, I think Auburn and Hugh Freeze ends up being a very good combination over time. I don't know about year one. Yeah, no, I'm with you. This year, I feel like you're exactly right. There's LSU, Alabama, and then a big gulf. Marquez says, doesn't matter if you watch Georgia play. The blueprint is literally the retro Bama blueprint. Old school defensive prioritized football still works in modern times. I agree with you, Marquez. Mm-hmm. When I'm concerned, like, here's the deal. That blueprint works if you get five-star talent. Like, the reason why people run the spread is because it helps to help your talent punch up, right? If you have the best players, you can run pro style. You can focus on defense. Bama has that. Why haven't we felt that, though, the last couple of years? Like, why is Alabama's defense more consistently than ever before in the Saban era giving up big drives at the end of games, allowing these one-score games? I don't exactly know. Is Kevin Steele the answer? I don't feel like he is, but maybe so. So I agree. Yeah, like, Georgia laid out the blueprint, but nobody else can get the pieces together like Georgia can to create or to follow through on the blueprint. But again, Nick Saban, if you pull it off this year, you are truly a god among men, as if you weren't a god already. Who hates Nate Oates? Yeah. Aaron, anything else on Alabama?
I don't feel good about them. That's it. I really don't. Like, sorry to speak to rain on all the Alabama's parade. Like, last year was supposed to be, or 2 years ago, what was it? 2 years ago, Nick Saban, or last year, he said this past year was our rebuilding year. And then, like, last year was supposed to be the big fireworks, and it really wasn't. And it was a really good team, and a team that showed promise and at times looked like an elite team, but not consistently. Like, this is truly, in my opinion, like, this is really the rebuilding year. And I honestly think, like, LSU right now is a rocket ship that if LSU wins week one versus FSU, good luck catching them. They're gone. They're off to the races. I mean, you talked about the talent back. There are very few question marks on that LSU roster returning. And you got Brian Kelly as a coach, and you know that team's going to be better in year two under him. They win versus Florida State there in Orlando week one. I don't think Alabama's going to be able to catch them.
Blake Walter says, Alabama margin of point differential last couple of years. They've been fourth in the country, first and third. He hasn't done yet. Look, I kind of echo Blake's sentiment a bit, where if you have lived in the West the past decade and you had suffered directly at the hands at Nick, it's a bit like an evil dictator or something, right? It's kind of hard to believe that they're really losing their grip or that they're really dead. They're like the stereotypical movie villain that comes back for one final gasp. So I think you're objectively right, Aaron, but I think I'm too close to the case to agree with you. Like, I still think that Alabama is going to be great this year, going to be dominant, and I'm not sure that LSU is going to finish ahead of them. But I hope so. Again, on paper, everything you're saying makes sense, but it's Saban. It's Saban. What are you going to do? Shots fired. And this will be real quick here at the end. Shots fired from the Pac-12. So we have spent this offseason singing the Big 12's praises, right? They've added teams. They outmaneuvered the Pac-12, reportedly getting an early TV contract that's going to pay them well. Now the economy's gone down. Everybody's a bit more gun-shy on all these TV rights deals. Bob Iger back as the CEO of Disney, like, we've heard it all, right? And yet, despite that, and also the Big 12, in case you missed it, they've been targeting what they have deemed the four corners in the Pac-12. That's Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. Well, very interestingly, over the last week or so, all four corners have come out and shown solidarity with the Pac-12. And maybe nobody was more direct than Arizona President Robert C. Robbins, who straight up came out and said that they are going to get more money, he believes, than the Big 12 contract says. He said he believes the dollar figure will be bigger within the Big 12s, which pays out $31.7 million annually. And quote, none of us aspire to win a bronze medal, but I think we solidly get a bronze medal in this thing. I think we'll be the third best deal out of the Power 5 leagues. Now, it should be said, every one of these schools, when they're talking about this stuff, it's everything they're saying, like, oh, we're together. It's all hinging on Kliakoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, landing that deal. I cannot see the market that is handing them this deal. I don't see the suitors. I don't know where it is, but Robert Robbins says he sees it, or at least he's heard about it from George. And he also says he expects a deal to be done in the next couple of weeks. So Aaron, they're puffing out their chest saying, not so fast. We're not dead yet.
Oh, they're dead. Fake it till you make it. And they ain't going to make it. There's no way that in this world right now, where ESPN or Disney just fired 7,000 people, where the economy is shaky, where a recession is possible, that someone is going to give the Pac-12 more money than the Big 12. That's just not, that's financially irresponsible. It is. It really is. It's stupid. And for them to feel like that's going to happen, if it does, he may be a better negotiator than Warren was before he left the Big Ten, because they do not have the product. They do not have the reach. They don't have the attention on the West Coast that deserves top dollar like the SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12 get. They don't. We know people in the out on the West Coast, they aren't consuming college football at the same clip that the SEC is. Their games are later in the day. So people on the East Coast aren't watching a lot of the games on the West Coast. It's hard to find the Pac-12 network half the time. You're sending me bootleg, you know, freaking sites for me to go watch half these games. So like, to me, there isn't the audience that gives them, especially with USC leaving, there is not the audience that a responsible company is going to give them top dollar to match the Big 12. So I don't see it happening. If it does, he's a hell of a negotiator. I don't know what rabbit he pulled out of his hat, but it ain't happening.
No, look, I agree with you. Now, I don't agree with Spencer here. Sorry. He says Pac-12 Network is absolutely trash. Okay, Spencer, I actually do agree with that. I thought you just said Pac-12. I agree with everything you just said, Aaron. George Kliakoff is a former television exec, so maybe the answer to this is yes, but like, is he such a greaseball that he would just be going around lying to the president saying like, dude, I got a great deal. Like, cause at the end of the day, like, it's very easy to see whether you actually have the deal or not, because it'll be signed or won't. Like there's no bullshitting. There's no Ponzi scheme to be had here where you can get other investors to give you money to give the original investors. Like, no, he's going to get found out. And we all know how quickly these handshake things can go awry. Remember the alliance before the Big Ten stabbed the Pac-12 and the Big 12, or excuse me, stabbed the Big 12 in the back. So I don't know, man. Do you ever see the movie The Mask with Jim Carrey back in the day?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you know when they're hanging out at the bank at the beginning and Cam Diaz walks in and Jim's friend's like, no, a girl like that, she's always looking for the BBD, the bigger, better deal. That's what Kliakoff's looking for right now, okay? The question is, can George Kliakoff get in the Cucamonga Club, or is he going to get thrown out in the street like our boy Stanley Ipkiss? I feel like it's probably thrown out in the street, but who knows? Maybe he somehow pulls it off and you walk into the Cucamonga, you can't get in, but as the door is shutting in front of you, you see a Kliakoff at a table in the corner yucking it up with the four corners. Again, I don't think it's possible, but George is at least saying that it is. So we'll see. We will see.
The Saudis lives on.
Yes, the LIV network. Even though I shouldn't talk about this because I only saw the headline. I did not do the, what I should have done and read the actual article. But there's a very bad headline floated around that the LIV television actual like production, like the people that worked in production have all had their benefits and healthcare taken away. So, I am not someone to comment as to. So I just bring that up because maybe the LIV network that we could see the money being poured in here, maybe it's not.
Who could have saw that coming? Who could have saw that? Who could have saw that faucet not draining forever?
You did just say this, I think, yesterday, maybe on AMP, bro. So, pretty good call by you there. Hey, bro, do you have the Larsa Pippen sound?
I do not.
Oh my God. This is
you lucky son of a bitch, Aaron. You dodged another Larsa Pippen.
With the Larsa Pippen.
You dodged another. You Larsa lives to fight another day. Shout out Larsa Pippen. Aaron, after you get this vasectomy on Monday, that could be you. 4 times a day, 7 days a week for 20.
Well, I think I'm going to have to do it 4 times a day, 7 times a week to get all the still good swimmers out of my system.
Yeah, that's what they said. It's like literally the greatest medical advice I've ever gotten in my life. The doctor told me you have to come 20 times. I'm like, doc, what do I have? 5 days?
Classic.
He's like, no, pump sir, and you dump, have six,
baby. Pump and dump.
6 weeks. Don't worry, doc. I got you. Give me one. Give me 1 week. I got you, man. No problems. No questions asked. God, I can't believe you got in Monday. I'm so jealous. All right. Well, we love you, Aaron. I hope you have a wonderful radio show. Shout out to Colin Cowherd and The Volume for allowing us to do this ridiculous show here on The Volume every single day, youtube.com/The Volume. Hit the like button. Shout out to FanDuel for putting it all on, man. All of it. Making all the Volume dreams come true. FanDuel.com/snaps for great sign-up deals. Go bet on March Madness, folks. It's like the most fun thing to bet on, even if you're like me and you don't really care about college basketball. Shout out to
we can tell by your bracket, T-Bob. We can tell by your bracket.
What are you talking about? I thought you said I was like 30-something out of like 120, right?
Yeah, but I think that's like tied with the – I don't know. You're way down the list. That's all I know.
Bitch, that's like, hello, Mr. QB1. How about you do math? So I'm in the top 33%. Okay, that's great. Where are you at?
Not the top 16.
Near the
baby.
Top quartile, even.
Yeah, I'm near the top quartile. There's Brum's producerial instincts kicking in. It's all about how you package it. Look, if your ratings aren't good, your ratings are growing. Okay, if they're good, then you get raw numbers. But if they're not good, we don't sell by numbers. You know, the show is growing every single
show's day. Moving in the direction we want it to go.
Shut the fuck up, Brum. These jokes are not funny from you, given that you could actually hit us with this bullshit and make us feel insecure. Huge thank you to everyone. Look, if you want to help grow the show. If you want to help grow the show, hit the like button on the YouTube channel, rate and review the pod on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen. We love you all. We thank you. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of Snap.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at Reserve Bar. .com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.